children. Hi, and welcome to Cartwheels on the Sky, Poets, Poems, and Discovery. I'm your host, Blake Moore, and for the next 30 minutes, you will get a glimpse into the poems and process of poet Marilyn Mother Bear Scott, who writes memoir, poems, poetic narration, and theater review. A founding member and editor for the online journal Choreopsis, she is published by Cauldron Press, Bantam Press, Skinner Press, Choreopsis, Green Egg, and WMC anthologies, and regularly features in readings around Northern California. She has also published in Beyond Absence, Starhawk Circle Round, Word Weavers, The Dragon Slayer's Daughter, and she also has a book of poetry, Love's Journey. She is currently focusing on gathering and writing her memoirs, Om Sweet Mystery, as well as working on a nonfiction book, In Your Own Right. Mother Bear also has a long history of nonviolent protest and demonstration for peace, and she was on the creative edge of the psychedelic revolution in the early 60s, the Harvard days of Alpert and Leary. She also journeyed to the Bay Area in 1967 and the Summer of Love, complete with her husband and first two of six children. Connecting with the Stanford Writing Group, later known as Kesey and the Merry Pranksters, she taught theater, creative writing, and dance at Peninsula School in Menlo Park. She and the four youngest of her kids went on to the Great Peace March for Global Nuclear Disarmament in 1986 from California to Washington, D.C. During this time, she wrote and produced an original dance theater piece comprised of 17 verses of haiku titled Sadako's Dance of the Thousand Crane. It was performed in college amphitheaters, town squares, and church basements all across America and later in Europe, Russia, and Czechoslovakia. To this day, she has continued her activism for peace and the environment, bringing her theatrical and poetic presence to rallies, demonstrations, and venues all along the peace path. More information about Marilyn Mother Bear Scott can be found via her website, magicalcauldron.org. And here is the conversation we had earlier this week. Marilyn Mother Bear Scott, what a pleasure it is to have you with me on Cartwheels on the Sky.
I'm excited. It's my pleasure, Blake.
Do you want to start us off with a poem?
Oh, I would. I did choose one that I think I haven't, you know, really read this one to anyone for a long time. It was created, I think, for the goddess festival in Mendocino, and it's a casting by the power of seven, a chakra resonance. I cast a circle by the power of seven, from worlds below to worlds in heaven, from what we do to what we are, from our molten center to that distant star, from the womb out of which we're born to the tomb, it's to life we're sworn. From creative center to our will, we make it so, our lives fulfill. The beating heart, both guard and guide, the loving rhythm sings us alive. The words we speak so powerfully true, they build one world for me and you. We envision a world of grace that guides, reaching toward the light we thrive, crowning ourselves with that brilliant light, we dance the rainbow out of darkest night.
Beautiful poem. That's what we're doing right now, huh? We're dancing that rainbow.
That's what I thought. I thought it was really a good one for the times, and also to cast a little magical circle out into the energetic world, the air that we're traveling on right now, right?
Indeed. You want to talk a bit about you and who you are and how poetry expresses itself in your magical life?
Well, it's I could try and do that. Honestly, poetry was part of my life from when I was very, very young. I mean, I was kind of speaking poem before I could read and write. And I actually had remembered one long ago that I had written down that I used to say to my mother. And I was just really, really little. And this is the poem. It was, "Good night, Mother dear. And in your ear, I'll whisper something sweet. You'll do the very same for me. Good night, Mother dear." That was it, my little poem to my mother when I was very young, before reading and writing.
Oh, so you are a poet.
I think so. I think it was in me. And my mother, you know, she loved to sing. And so she would sing, you know, all the Irish lullabies and all the other lullabies and lots of songs. And then as I got older, we would sing together. She had a lovely lilting voice, you know, so sweet. And so I think that rhythm of things also influenced me. And my father was a sleight of hand magician and a real humanitarian. And he influenced me a lot in creative ways as well. So, and magical ways. I have lots of stories written about my father, but I'm not reading stories tonight. I focused only on poetry. But I have to say about my mother, I had this little ditty that I wrote. "Words move into place, into certain spots. The T's are crossed and the I's have dots." Right?
Oh, that's great. How about you bring in that magical aspect about yourself? Because you really are, I want to call it old school Mendocino, in the sense of some of your background of how you came here and how you infuse prayer and deeper mystery and wisdom into the kinds of poems you write.
When I was a teen, there were various things I wanted to be. There were a lot of things I wanted to be, but some of them were, I wanted to be a missionary, and I thought maybe I wanted even to be some kind of a social work minister that went into difficult places and helped people to live happier. And that was always in me, the spiritual part of me. And, you know, I don't even know how that came to be, but as I got into my teen years and high school years, I just wanted to read all the metaphysical kinds of things, you know. So that brought me into a kind of beat aspect, you know, a bohemian aspect. And I was the first person in my family to attend college, but I knew I wanted to go. I didn't want anything else. But in those days, college isn't what it is today. It was for people who really, really wanted, were seekers. They wanted to learn, you know. And I think, you know, my father was a real humanitarian, so I got that caring about something greater than myself, perhaps, from him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he died, he was called into the army in 1944, and 4 months later he was dead. I was 7 and my sister was 9. And I was very close with my father. So it was quite a passage and for me. And I didn't understand, you know, I really didn't understand. My mother said, "Oh, sit down, girls. I have to tell you this thing, you know." And she said, "Your father isn't coming home." And I had no idea what that meant. So I didn't really believe he was gone in any way. I didn't had no relationship with death to understand that part of things. It took my sister and I a long time to come to terms with the fact that he really wasn't, he was gone, you know. But he wasn't really gone, because he came to me in dreams my whole life and regularly on his birthday. And so there was a presence. My father was my first spiritual teacher, because he taught me there was something that goes beyond the material world. Gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this on air. Here we are.
Unprecedented times, right? This is kind of the time
to yes.
speak certain truths, I think, more than ever. Right?
Yes.
What do we have to lose, ultimately? You know, as long as we're not harming somebody,
exactly.
we might maybe surprise or confuse or dare even offend somebody. But the risking of revealing our true self, I think, brings that greater intimacy. And that's what we're missing in our lives right now, I think, on so many
and
levels.
And I think, you know, it's good if people start to reveal their personal mysteries, because that's a personal
yeah.
mystery. You know, when I grew up, I wasn't telling people, oh, I had, my father came to me last night, he talked to me or anything like that, because, you know, people didn't believe in that kind of stuff. And it wasn't a hallucination. It was a voice in my head that spoke to me. And so it really taught me that there was something beyond this, you know, mortal presence, you know, that we have. And also at the same time, of course, I missed him terribly in that fundamental mortal way that we missed.
Right.
So the mystery isn't just about death, it's about life as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me that I wanted to do all this kind of spiritual missionary helping people work. And, you know, I went through lots of different phases growing up. I didn't study to be that, but here I am, you know, kind of that, you know, as a priestess or as a, you know, person who does this kind of wisdom teaching in out in the world.
You want to bring some kind of mystery poem in, another one?
Let's see. What shall I do here? I just want to do this one, Falling on the Earth, because when I did come from the East Coast to the West Coast, I went to, you know, we had went to the Bay Area, and I taught at Peninsula School for 6 years and before coming to Mendocino County and Greenfield Ranch, where we did a Back to the Land trip. And the earth was always a great teacher to me. I mean, I always loved like being in the streams in the Pocono Mountains where my mother went to live after my father died. And so I would go there every summer throughout all the years until I graduated. And once I graduated from high school, the next day I was going up to the Poconos to live with her. And every summer I would go and live with her. And so that was the beautiful, because she worked all day and I would do domestic things, and I also go out and hunt in the streams. I mean, you know, I just explore, you know, the streams and the woods and things like that. I got very close to the earth in so many ways. And so this one is called Falling on Earth. I am falling upon this beautiful earth, letting loose tears, abundant enough, all the other stuff we suffer changes into crumbly compost, moist with the mystery of the wounded heart, hidden dreams ready to rise again.
So you want to read another? That was so short.
That was short. Okay. I'm going to read Homage to Gemini. I wrote this on my birthday years ago. I'm a Gemini, double Gemini, triple Gemini with Aries rising. Well, just like that, tears, moving into our birthdays, our birth D-A-Z-E days, we Geminis wander the open and beckoning road, wonder at the destination, embrace what is, forgive what is not, focus on what we will as it appears so suddenly at times it blows my mind, and we weep and sing and dance and pray that all beings will give up war and be happy. Reshuffling the cards, resonating with spirit, wings taking us up into our beloved air, pure and redolent, we swim in flowers, sway with divas, touch what is God, goddess, goodness, plunge to earth in love with being human and humane. Breath and body, we enter the all to live and love in whatever is next.
I want to take a moment to remind you that you're listening to Cartwheels on the Sky. I'm your host, Blake Moore, and the poet you're listening to is Marilyn Mother Bear Scott.
Were you writing a lot of nature poetry? Were you writing a lot of magic poetry? Was that what you were doing then? And then you just continued with the commune, the lore of that kind of Mendocino history that you're so much a part
of.
And so maybe speak a little bit of that, of being kind of the poet voice from that time and that
place. I think I was a poet voice for that time and also on the Great Peace March, both in the commune. I did become Eva Mother Bear in the commune. We all got names in the commune. That commune was in La Honda. And up on Skyline Boulevard during the heyday of, Kesey and the Whole Earth Catalog and that kind of period of time. We were involved with all that. And so, yes, I became a kind of poet voice there, but I was also teaching dance and theater at the time at Peninsula School. So I was also doing that kind of integration. And then when we went up to the ranch, there was a period of such deep solitude on the land. I can't tell you, it is an irreplaceable experience for me, those early years on the ranch and having babies, like going out cracking ice on a pail of water and then coming in and giving birth and in a dome, you know, that is barely a skin away from the elements. So it's right. A rare time, but a precious time. And I experienced a lot of spirituality from the deep earth connection. And that time was also a time when, the deep earth spirituality was being created and acknowledged in many, many diverse ways during that time. And anyway, I can remember standing on the edge of my hill and looking at these redwoods and feeling like I heard their voice speak, that I heard of the way they had been colonized, the way that once upon a time there were redwoods all over the world, and how now there's a very difficult and slim margin for their voices to be communicated to each other, let alone all that they offer and protect. So this deep activism happened during that period of time for me, the earth activism. And then later, when the Peace March happened in 1986, the four youngest children and I went on that march and went across the country on that march and created poetry, created performance and protest performance all the way across. And so that was also another, and also the spiritual part of things, every month on the full moon, I conducted rituals for the women rituals. And then that got to be a larger process where everyone was invited, and we created more and more large rituals on the Peace March. It wasn't the thing that the Peace March was really acknowledged for or anything, but we all who were on the march, were aware that, this was a part of it. And we included people from the outside, and when we were working with the Native Americans, and working with the people who were losing their farms, they all became part of the magic of the Peace March. That seems very scattered. I don't know if I drew a line.
No, I was just imagining being there. Your experience is so rich. Do you have a poem that maybe that can speak to that?
I'm going to read this one. I'm going to read, this is what I call a calling for above, below, and within. So this is above, below, and within. It's a little longer poem, so. Left arm raised to touch the sky, we call to all that soar and fly. Great winged ones, cranes, owl, and dove, dance among the clouds above. With drifting puffs of changing shapes, we gaze, reflect, and scry our fates. The sky, the stars, the moon, and sun transmit that we are all and none. A part of the multiverse we are, water, air, earth, and fiery star. Through our breath, earth's atmosphere, we plunge on down through shadowed fear. We call you now in this time of peril. All hail to thee, all that is below. Right arm reaching to touch the earth, this is the hallowed place of birth. The topmost level, fairy blessed. We journey inward, earth compressed. The weight of gravity, strata of rock, water flows through channeled lock. Sacred doors open to the fire within. Our bodies, crucibles filled to the brim. Swimming through dirt, we find ourselves rise, knowing for earth there's no compromise. Roots drinking water, feeding off dirt, we enter our garden, our will to assert. We call you now, in this time of peril. All hail to thee, all that is within. Both arms gather the all that is, hands crossed upon the heart that gives, informing self of the work at hand. Intention and magic gives grace to the land. The body is upright, the center, the tree, the pillar that stands. It's you and it's me. Up from our roots through our center to sky, connecting what is from below to on high. Our body, a temple, a column of prayer, offers our magic into the air. Words travel forth on the air that we breathe, the flame that makes change is what we believe. Love flows through our heart, tears sweetened stream, axis mundi envisioned. We realize the dream. We call you now in this time of peril and in this moment of grace. And so it is.
Beautiful. I have all the hair on my arms standing straight up. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and is that a recent poem or is that a...
I would call it in the fairly recent. I think it's a few years old.
I'm curious.
I don't have a date on it.
That's okay. I'm curious. Have you found that the poems you write or your writing habits have changed since we've all made such big changes in our lives with the adjustments we've made with COVID?
I don't know. You know, my writing, I think has changed over the years. Like I came across a poem that I didn't pick out to read mm-hmm. from long ago. It was to my Grammy when she turned 80. And I am now 83. So that was a long time ago. I sometimes think I should rewrite that. I should edit it. And I think, no, I shouldn't. That is the poem I wrote to my Grammy then, you know?
Yeah. Write another one for now. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I understand that as a poet. I've come across writing and think, God, I could just change that. And I've forced myself the same way because it's a lot more fun just to write something new. I recently found a poem that I wrote when I was in, I think it was fifth grade. And I took a photo of it. So I have it. And it's just so funny because...
Oh,
you know,
that's so great.
To find a poem from fifth grade was such a wonderful discovery. It was like a treasure. And it was about how the trash truck comes into my room at night and takes all my stuff. You know, I'm like, what? I think that's because my mom sometimes called my room a pigsty. I'm sure it has something to do with that. But I just thought that it was great to see that. Well, we're getting close to time, Miss Mother Bear, and I knew we would be.
Oh, my
goodness. 30
we
minutes
didn't
goes
even
by
get
so,
into.
It goes so quickly. It goes so quickly.
We
so
didn't even get into love poems or.
I know. Is there a way that people could find out more about your work?
Well, I have a website, but it's more for the mysteries and the priestess work than it is for. I should have that. I'm just not very good with all that stuff. I need an assistant, you know?
You and everybody else, exactly.
Right, I know. That is what we need. I have, now, how much time do we have? Because I do have a
We have about time for one more poem, and that's about it.
Okay, I won't get into the love stuff. I'll stick with the spiritual stuff and do Bridget, because Bridget's coming up. Upon this cross quarter by Imbolc, Bridget the saint, and or Bridget the goddess, Candlemas, by the sacred sighting of the groundhog and shadow or sun, by the name and practice of thy reflection and devotion, may thee and thine be drawn toward the growing light. May peace and joy be in thy path. May good health, creative work, and prosperity be in thy practice. Bridget's blessing. The bedded embers of winter's deep sleep, crimson and ash, stirred by dreaming, flash sparks in the darkness. Dreams rise up, touching what is unknown, invisible, the energy beckons. Longing calls the future forth. The devoted catch its drift. Embers ignite. Atop the fire, a cauldron. Steam curls into shapes, words, worlds. Visions bubble up, overflowing. Flames snake upward, lick up the sides, taking a taste. Cloaked in red, garnets aglitter, a woman stands by the tripod, stirring the cauldron. Words flow, forming what we will. Dreams become prophetic vision. Embrace now within the heart, energy dances through the body, beating a rhythm, a heart rhythm, a healing rhythm, a rhythm of love, singing the world into springtime. Her voice utters the words, sings in lyrical couplets, spills over into ruts, filling up holes, drops into stream beds, fills the well, makes trails and pathways. Words are incantation. Life stirs, lambs birth, ewes milk, snowdrops bloom, seeds burst, roots reach down, finding water between hard places, green shoots awaken, break ground. Bridget's blessings, embedded deep within, stir us from slumber. Initiate in us a stirring, ignite the spark of life. We are the smoldering ember, the glint of dream and vision. We are flames licking, tasting what will be an overflowing vessel.
Thank you so much, Mother Bear. What a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
And that concludes my interview with Marilyn Mother Bear Scott. You've been listening to Cartwheels on the Sky. My name is Blake Moore, and I want to let you know that Marilyn Mother Bear Scott is a wonderful Mendocino County poet who was a frequent regular back in the day when Third Thursday Poetry was live with music. Hopefully someday we'll be back there. And in the meantime, thanks so much for listening and stay tuned for more wonderful programming right here on KGUA FM Wallala. Have a great night.
Love yourself, or you cannot love.